The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Squalls, and in our business lead this evening, I'm joined by Frederico Lynx from the Institute of Public Policy Research. Welcome.
Good day, Angie, and thanks for having me on.
What prompted the IPPR to focus this edition of the Procurement Tracker on ministerial exemptions? Please tell us.
The issue of exemptions have become a concern once again because of, you know, what's in the SWAPO Party Manifesto Implementation Plan. Now, this has been sort of been reported on throughout the year, but, you know, we just felt it was necessary to revisit some of what we've written over the years and what has been some of the guidance out there, and to just flag that the use of exemptions in public procurement is something that goes against best practice and the guidance from instruments such as the UN Convention Against Corruption and various other instruments as well. So just to say that we're going in the wrong direction if we are going to, as part of this new administration's development agenda, going to have billions of dollars and thousands of contracts potentially bypass good practice and default systems that are there to make sure that public procurement is done properly.
Frederico, the report suggests that exemptions risk eroding public trust. Can you explain how this happens in practical terms?
We've seen in the past where exemptions have been used sort of in a widespread sense, where the entire system, but this is one of the issues that plagued the old tender board system before the Public Procurement Act of 2015 framework came into existence. The old tender board system that plagued that system, at some point towards the end of tender board system, most, almost two-thirds of government procurement was happening via exemptions and direct procurement and so on. And, you know, where the public trust element comes in is that a lot of money is spent, people don't see where it's going, and so distrust and allegations of waste and mismanagement and corruption come to plague the whole system, and there's a lack of transparency and accountability. And that's what these non-competitive, non-transparent procurement methods, that's what they do. They erode public trust, because public procurement is about service delivery. And if people perceive that service delivery is not happening as the political rhetoric has promoted out there, then people lose trust in the government. And we already have that situation. So the use of exemptions already is sort of raising question marks in public. And people are already talking about, yeah, is this just a way for the corrupt to once again get into the system and erode service delivery?
From economic standpoint, how do procurement exemptions affect fiscal discipline and public spending efficiency?
Issue of efficiency is a question that should be asked when we're talking about exemptions. Because, I mean, in the first instance, why aren't we fixing the issues in the existing system to make it work efficient instead of now trying to bypass what the problems are and do things in a way that could make, you know, the situation even worse? Things like exemptions, and this is what we call for, unless there is openness about the use of exemptions, and if exemptions are done under a cloud of secrecy and non-transparency, then this is a problem. Then we don't see how such procurements done under such a system, under exemptions, be efficient. And there's already a problem within the system in terms of efficiency and effectiveness. So I don't see how shifting procurement into this parallel track of exempted procurement will make things more efficient. It could speed things up, but will we really get value for money? Will we really get the best fall back out of that sort of system? You know, there are too many question marks. And this is exactly why conventions such as the UN Convention Against Corruption, others, encourage states to not have exemptions or exceptions, as it's called in the literature, in their public procurement. And rather, if they do have such exemptions or make use of exemptions or exceptions, to define them very narrowly and to report them rigorously, very open about how exemptions are used and in what context and so forth. You know, this is why we just felt, you know, we need to flag this. We need to be asking the question and place these issues out there in public so that they are aired appropriately.
Yeah. Do you think that these exemptions could influence Namibia's creditworthiness, investor confidence, and perceptions of economic governance?
Yes. If things go wrong, if exemptions become an avenue for corrupt practices, for politicizing public procurement, if you start having waste and mismanagement accompany the use of exemption, then yes, it will have the impact of influencing perception of how government is handling state resources, of how perceptions of governance in the country. And I think already the proposal to make widespread use of exemptions is already making people sit up, not just here, in other parts as well, because the anti-corruption literature is full of case studies of how exemptions or exceptions have been abused and misused for political reasons or for corrupt purposes and so on. So if things start going wrong, if we start seeing a lot of reports of waste, mismanagement, alleged corruption, it definitely will have an impact on how Namibia is perceived.
To what extent do procurement inefficiencies slow down infrastructure development or service delivery?
A lot of the inefficiencies that I think we have speak to a lack of evidence-based planning, a lack of proper planning. And this is something that comes out of the assessment that was done by the World Bank consultants that did the review of the public procurement system using the methodology for assessing procurement systems, the MAPS review that was done in 2023, 2024, and then the report that was released earlier this year, which flagged all these gaps, almost 100 gaps in the framework that gave rise to a lot of the problems that we have in the system. And so these gaps have undermined the optimal working of the public procurement system, according to these consultants that did the assessment. The MAPS assessment actually advised against sort of the use of exemptions or exceptions in public procurement. But now we're going against that guidance from these consultants, who point out that the use of exemptions should be under very strict and limited circumstances and under very narrowly defined conditions. We're going to ignore this now in order to push through this development agenda of the current administration. And, you know, we could see a situation where things could go off the rails if we do that. And this is the issue. What is promised is not delivered at the end of the day. And then, you know, what then? It's a political discussion. The whole push to sideline proper process is a political push, and we have to be aware of that.
Federico, just the last question. Could improved procurement governance make Namibia more competitive in attracting foreign investment and donor funding?
Yes, you know, good governance across the board could have that effect. Part of the problem we have around public procurement is the absence of or the lack of proper financial controls within public entities, within government departments at all levels. And you see this in Auditor General's reports. So financial and management at government institution level is a serious concern, and it will remain one for a while yet. So the issues in the public procurement system speak to wider governance issues in the state sector. So you shouldn't see it in isolation. We shouldn't talk about this public procurement in isolation. It speaks to wider dysfunctions within governance structures within the state sector. And yes, definitely has an impact at various levels, and not just nationally, but also, you know, how we are perceived regionally and internationally.
Federico, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Angie. It was a pleasure talking about this with you.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.